justice in this case. That is to do justice to both sides and see that both sides get a fair trial. I'm going to allow you, sir, to make an affidavit and present it to me in camera. I'll make up my own mind as to whether you get the deposition or not.
What's in writing in your office? Under oath in your personal camera. Either way.
Well, I think that since it's going to be a camera, you better put it in writing.
All right, sir.
That's going to apply to all these other people that are not under subpoena and will not, the defense is not, I mean, the state is not at this time considering subpoenaing. I think that you're going to have to show me reasonable grounds what their testimony would be in aid of the defendant's side of the case before I can give you any right to take the deposition, because as I conceive it, I have no right to give you I have no right to authorize any exploratory deposition. And,
I'd be the presumptuous attempt to discuss the Tennessee law with one as eminently qualified, both from an academic and legal and judicial standpoint, Your Honor. But there's a conflict in the Tennessee law with reference to depositions. There's one place where it says relative to what Your Honor said. And there is another place, a later enactment of the legislature, which says, as I recall later, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know Your Honor knows which is the first, but it's my recollection that the later enactment says that depositions in criminal cases shall be taken by provisions of the court as in civil cases.
Cases in the courts without the defense having a complete file on what the state had. And that would hardly be fair as long as we have an adversary.
Correct. I agree with you on that. But this would be eminently fair if we didn't have that system. And if someday that will be the system.
Well, perhaps so, but I don't think I will be alive. Let's go through these one by one and see what it is. All right, sir, I think you're going to have to give me an affidavit as to Warden Walter Swanson, Harry Law. You have no right to take Baker's deposition. You'll have to give me an affidavit on Hannah's. Chirpy is under subpoena. You can't get him. Patrick, you'll have to give me a deposition.
I know what the witness may do intend to produce from the Birmingham Trust National Bank. He's going to testify to you. I may be able to waive Kirk Patrick.
All right, sir, if you can waive anything, I won't get mad, Mr. Court.
Well, I'm not just taking that position. No, I can't, but I don't care whether it's Kirk Patrick or who it is, Joe Blow or John Doe.
Well, they stated they're going to have someone.
But,
you cannot get his. Frank Hitt, the state is going to have him here at the motion to suppress. The Reverend Andrew J. Young will be subpoenaed by the state, so we're not going to be able to take his. J.D. Garner is another one of these that's going to be here. for the motion for suppress and state will have it against. And Rutherford, Dr. William Rutherford, the Reverend Lowry, and the Reverend Martin L. King, Sr., they indicated they're not going to subpoena them, so you'll have to give me an affidavit as to what you expect to prove by them. And George Bonebreak will be produced, and he's going to be subpoenaed. So you will not be able to take his deposition.
Now, may I please report with reference to the witnesses that are will be here. Are we permitted to assume that they will be here at the opening of this trial so that we may confer with them before any announcement on the trial?
Well, now, you understand this, Mr. Foreman. I'm not going to be able to force anyone in the world to talk to you until you get under oath on that witness stand. You ask him a question. Stop the question, and I'm going to make him answer your question. But I can't force anyone to talk to you.
I know the law, Your Honor, and I'm not suggesting that we would ask you to do so. I have a right, I think, to assume from published reports that have been published concerning the various witnesses that probably no one except Mr. Hitt and Mr. Bonebreak will have any hesitancy to talk. But I cannot talk with them if at the time of the calling of this case an announcement, the state announced ready, and then we're calling to make an announcement ready. I cannot make that announcement. I do have a right to talk to those people if they will talk to me, and the Supreme Court of this state and of the United States has said it is my duty to talk with them if they will talk with me. And I did that as to when I might have a chance to ask them if they will talk with me, and if the court would ask the prosecution or if the court would direct the prosecution to have them here at a given date, I would be better able to respond to any announcement the prosecution makes.
Well, I assure you this, Mr. Foreman, that you're going to be given an opportunity to talk to anyone that will talk to you. First. Second, have you filed a motion to suppress yet?
No, sir.
Well, if as and when you do, we'll set that, and we'll set it at your convenience of counsel. In other words, I know you all have got a great deal to do.
We're working day and night, sir.
Whenever we get the trial on this case, I'm sure that you all will be will have done a lot of things. And so we're going to, if as and when you file your motion to suppress, let's see if you all can agree together. As sometimes you haven't been able to agree, then I'll set the case. The motion is suppressed, but if you can, it's much better if you can do it amicably between yourselves. If not, I'll do it.
I have no anticipation at all if you what happened here, that as far as the motion to suppress, there'll be any question about the witnesses being here. But Your Honor started discussing that because it was allied to what we were discussing, but let's leave that out of my question and see if I may anticipate an order from the court or an agreement from the prosecution that all of its witnesses will be here on the opening day of this trial, so that if they're willing to talk to, such of them as are willing to talk to counsel for the defense, we may exercise whatever rights we have and duties we have.
I'm not going to enter any such order, Mr. Palmer. I mean, these witnesses are scattered all over the world, and I wouldn't make the state have them all here on the opening day of the trial. No, sir, I'm not going to do that. I don't think it's reasonable, and if you want to know certain things in advance of this, I'll aid you in any way I can. But I'm not going to do what I think is unreasonable, and I think that would be unreasonable.
Well, at any rate, we've requested it.
Yes, sir. All right, sir, we've been going now about 10 minutes. Suppose we take a few minutes for sex.
Sounds good, thank you, sir.
Motions and they will answer the three motions if that's agreeable with the court, agreeable with him, agreeable with the state.
Well, there's a whole lot in some.
fact is creating the duties of the clerk, but being familiar with clerks who are nearly always honored as most gracious people in any courthouse as part. They are primarily the custodians of the records, and the law contemplates that the records will be kept by the clerk. I had this up many times, Your Honor, with district attorneys. Usually law search warrants, they like to keep them in their files. Most statutes of both states provide that they likewise shall be in the offices of the clerk. I respectfully call the court's attention that if the prosecution has a right to keep in its file papers that properly belong in the office of the clerk, why then, what's false for the goose is duck soup for the gander. But if someone of us, for the defense, pre-empted that right and substituted the keeping of the clerk's official records in our files, we'd be subject possibly to a criminal offense in my state to a felon for removing a file that belonged to the clerk's office into an attorney's office. And certainly to condemn to court, we don't want anybody to be, certainly not these gentlemen, to be punished for contempt of court. But we do think that they are amenable to the spirit and the letter of the law, and certainly the spirit of the law, and I hope the letter of the law contemplates that when process has been served, that returns will be made to the clerk, which in my humble judgment means that shall be filed with the clerk and kept there, for and records of the clerk's office are public records. These files, as the court has just pointed out, are under the adversary system of the prosecuting attorney is not such. Now, likewise, we've only explored a few of the 360 witnesses in the hour and 10 minutes.